So, I know some of y'all are wondering, we got a table, we got pitchers of water, we got ping pong balls, and the youth pastor's preaching, what could really happen, right? Y'all know y'all were thinking that, you know. But yeah, but anyway, just to kind of give you a little background of what's going on with this up here, about 3 months ago, I actually kind of did this for the youth, up in the youth room a couple times, and so... Usually when I'm asked to preach in advance like this, I usually like to ask my students, I'm like, all right, what do y'all think I should preach about? Just give me some ideas. I need help with this. Just give me some ideas. So one of them said, you need to do the ping pong ball thing. I'm like, the ping pong ball thing? And then I was like, I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if it's really geared to do in front of a whole congregation. But then several others came to me and said the same thing. And I was like, all right, let's try it. What can happen, all right? All we're doing is sharing the gospel, right? So what could go wrong? So anyway, so this is kind of the gist of this little experiment is the fact that they kind of gave me the idea, and I got thinking about this, like, what direction can I go with this? And, you know, with this, what we're doing, it can go in many different directions in the gospel. So I got thinking about it, and I got doing some reading for the past few weeks and some studying, and it just stood out to me in Colossians 3. Starting in verse 1, listen to this. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And we'll stop there for a minute. So to kind of give you how this is set up, just to kind of give you a picture of what we're going to be doing. The vase here represents our life. That represents us as an individual, mainly, but as a whole. These ping pong balls, standard ping pong ball, they represent all the different things that are priority in our life. It could be family. It could be social media. Be technology, it could be money, whatever it is, the things that you make as a priority in your life. Now, y'all know me, I like getting people active, get y'all active a little bit so we don't sleep too much. How many of y'all actually want to strive to have a stronger relationship with Christ? Raise your hand. All right, does it take work? Yeah, it takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Well, the interesting part, I'm going to kind of give you a story on my life, too, a little bit with this, is all these things. We see our lives are full of all these different things that are consuming us, right? Now, there's not a whole lot of ping pong balls in this particular vase, but if I'm willing to bet, a lot of us probably have more than that right now that we're involved with. How many are actually say, I hear this all the time, they say you're really busy. Your life is really busy right now. You got so many other things going on. Everybody's busy. Think of the world. Nobody can stay in one place at one time anymore. Everybody's running around doing this, doing that. But here's the issue. When you look at all these different priorities, not all of them are bad. I mean, family, for the most part, is good, right? You love your family, you like to take care of your family, and you know, like my daughter, and I'm sure, is she in here? Oh, there she is up there. Like most of y'all's got grandkids and children like that. I'll say my daughter too. Y'all kind of enjoy spoiling your kids, don't you? Just a little bit. You like giving them, providing for them things they like, what they want. or it could be, I don't know, friends. It could be a lot of different things. Things that we think are good, things that we think that are amazing in our life that God puts in our life today, but we can also turn those into idols. We can turn our family into an idol. Once we put these things in place of God, that means we push God off to the side, put these on the focus of our lives, guess what happens? Not only have we pushed God to the side, all of a sudden we turn these good things that God provides for us, but we turn them into something bad. We turn them into an idol. Because now, not are they necessarily good, but all of a sudden now they have turned our focus away from God, and now all of a sudden our focus is completely on that. Now answer me on this one, and I'm sure all of us have been this. I have been there with this. What normally happens when you lose focus on God? What was that? When you lose that focus, what happens? All of a sudden, does it impact your prayer life? Does it impact reading Scripture, reading your Bible? Does it impact your church life? Yeah, it does. It's amazing all the time how, I mean, I hear this from people, I have served my time. Why do we got to be so involved with the church? I believe in God. I've heard that. But then at the same time, I see a lot of people that will say these things, but you never actually see them in church. And if I'm a betting man, I'll be willing to say they're not spending time in prayer. They're not spending time in the gospel either because they're allowing everything else to consume them. So let's go back to our little picture here. So this is our life. And there's a reason why I picked this kind of vase. It's just not straight up and down. It's got curves. The curve in this represents Satan, represents sin. Why do you think I did this? It's for the fact that Satan's always fighting. Are we all sinners? Raise your hand if you're a sinner. That's right. We all are. So guess what? It's always a battle. For believers, it is a battle. It is a fight. Nonstop, Satan is always attacking. But here's the interesting part. This water represents Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now, for most of us, when you all came to know Christ, before you actually necessarily knew him, when you started working on him, it was kind of a process, right? Most of us did not have a Paul moment where he's on Damascus Road and Jesus, he always, all of a sudden hears Jesus Christ's voice and all of a sudden, bam, there he is. He's a believer. I haven't had that kind of experience. Most of us, when we came to know Christ, it was the fact that he started working in us, but it took some time. It took some convincing. It took some work on our part to get to know him. It took people in our lives to help us see who Christ is, right? It's never just, boom, there it is, I'm a believer, for the most part. Now, I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying for most of us, that's not how it works. For my life, it wasn't that way. For my life, there are several people that's in my life that led me to Christ, that he used as his tool. My parents, my family, you know, my wife, her family, people in the church. God used them all as a part in my life to lead me to see him clearly and focus on him. Now, that doesn't mean that things are all so easy. It was difficult because there's a lot of things I had in my life at the time that I put before God. I mean, anybody that's known me from since I was little, I was a baseball fanatic. Everything was about baseball to me. Ask my parents. Hours and hours and hours and hours and hours on a ball field, out in the backyard, throwing ball, just tossing ball up to myself. I put a ton of time into baseball. And that was my idol. And it took me several years to figure out that I was putting that ahead of everything else. And it actually took the Lord showing me through an injury in college that I was putting baseball, sports, before him. And you know something? It took an injury that ended my baseball career for me to realize what I was doing wrong. Because that wasn't God's plan for me. Baseball was not his plan. He had a plan. I just wasn't willing to listen. Because I had it prioritized in my life as that's what I follow. So we're going back to this. So we got all these things. This represents Christ. So you think about it. You got these people in your life that God's put in your life. You start to get introduced to Christ. Not saying know him yet. So we slowly start pouring this into our life. Very slowly. As you see, not a lot really happens, right? Not a lot. We can go through prayer, start reading our Bible a little bit, just trying to get some answers. But hold on. Do you notice as we start going through and pouring a little bit, just right there, did anybody see the balls kind of shuffle, move around a little bit? Now, here's something interesting I want you all to picture. Why do you think I chose ping pong balls? It's not just because they float. They're round. If something is round trying to fill it, you put things in there trying to fill a container, does it completely fill the container? No. There's a lot of air pockets in there. And the thing is, it's the same way as what we do with our lives and our priorities. You realize our priorities are like a round ping pong ball, right? That we put in our life. They can never fill us completely. There's always a void. There's always a place in us that needs to be filled that we never can because we do not seek the right thing that can fill it, and that's Christ. I'll give you an example. With students, especially, you know me, student ministry. With students, cell phones. How often do they come out with a new cell phone? Twice a year? Probably now. You know how often I hear, ooh, I like to have that new cell phone, even though the one they have works just fine. How many of y'all like to have the latest of another vehicle? Ooh, that's a nice vehicle. How many of us look at these things? We're never satisfied. And that shows us right there the voids that we have in our life, because guess what? We can have those things, but we're never satisfied with them. We got to have the best. We got to have more. We got to keep pushing forward. We got to keep moving forward with this. But the problem is, because we're seeking something earthly, you never get full. Only Christ can do that. Only Christ can satisfy you. So as we go, as you see this, these balls, as they're shifting and they're moving around, we keep seeking. We keep searching. We keep allowing people in the church and in our lives through prayer and reading the gospel, keep just, you know, Lord's just working on us. He's filling us up. And we keep going with it. You know, and what's something interesting you see that happens? All those voids are starting to fill up with who? Christ. And we keep pouring. And watch, this will be the time this probably doesn't work. It's worked every other time so far, by the way. But nah, I think we're good. But anyway, we keep pouring. So things are starting. Oh, what happened? All of a sudden, we lost a few things. Now is it not just Christ filling the voids? Once we start really to know who he is and what he can do in our lives, some of these priorities no longer become priorities. They don't mean as much. They're not as important. So we just keep pouring. Keep shifting. The Lord keeps working. All the time. And slowly, you start seeing things change. Now, here's the interesting part with this. As I pour, we're going to get to the top. And you see as they start coming out. What is something, I'm going to hold this up, what is something you notice when I pour it? It's filled up to the top. There's still a lot of stuff down in the bottom, right? Have you seen a little clearness down at the bottom? What do you think, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, what do you think his blood does? It cleanses. It wipes away our sin. And slowly we start to see that. All of a sudden, our lives get a little clearer. Not all at once, but a little clearer. But at the same time, if you notice too, what else is there? There's still a lot of stuff that's still down here we're dealing with. Here's the reason why. Have you ever noticed that once you become a believer, things aren't easy? Have you ever noticed that when you become a believer, it seems like sometimes things get a little harder? Why? Because that's Satan. Remember where Satan's at in here? He's the skinny part of the vase. He's always fighting because he does not want us in a close relationship with Christ. He's seeing now, all of a sudden, that now Christ is starting to become an entity in our life, and we're slowly starting to break apart from these priorities or idols that we have in our life, and you see things going. Then, but here's the interesting part. Satan does this, and here's what I love about Jesus and God. He kind of likes sticking his hand in stuff and starts stirring things up like this, and all of a sudden, things start coming up. When they start coming up, he keeps pouring in. He keeps wanting us to do that over and over and over again. It's a cycle. He keeps stirring the pot a little bit. Aggravating Satan a little bit more. Because guess what? He's overcoming Satan. He's already overcame him. He's more powerful than he. He can sit there and go through this all day long. He's like, bring it on all day long. And he keeps pouring. And the thing with us, we got to constantly keep pouring him into our lives. Keep constantly reading the scriptures in prayer. Because guess what? He'll take it away if you ask. He'll take away the frustrations. All of a sudden, if you completely focus on him and you keep filling up, guess what? Look what happens. If he becomes a focus, he becomes a priority. These other things, even though they're still in your life, they're no longer a priority. Look what happens. All of a sudden, it becomes a little bit clearer picture of what our lives should be like and what the gospel tells us to do. But here's something else. As we start figuring this out, he comes to focus. And we're sitting there going through this stuff. You still see there's some balls there. But what's something else you see? It's starting to overflow, right? That's why I got a container here so I wouldn't make a mess. But what happens when you put your complete trust and focus in God and you want to serve him and do what he says? Your whole outlook on life and your whole purpose completely changes. Because why? All of a sudden, you see the importance of evangelism. You see the importance of the gospel and why people need to hear it. And what you have in here is going to come out in here. Scripture, that's, go look it up. When you completely put Christ in your life, he's going to change your life to the point to where you're going to start loving and wanting others to hear the gospel. It's going to overflow with his grace and love. He's going to use you as his tool to do that. And my friends, Paris, Kentucky is no different. We're going to start small. We're just talking about Paris. It's been about 12 years now, and I know I've said this before, but it's been about 12 years now. I was involved in a survey here just with student ministry, and I don't think it's really any better at all. But roughly 2,000, say, a range of 2,000 to 2,500 students, middle school, high school, that live in Bourbon County. Not all of them go to the schools here, but just live in Bourbon County. You realize 300 or less actually attend a church somewhere or are involved in a youth program. That means there's a lot of kids out here. A very small percentage are actually getting filled with the gospel. They're actually hearing about Christ. And I'd be willing to bet you, when we're talking about parents, I bet that percentage is even smaller. That's scary. And the reason why is this. What's our focus? Now, understand, even as you notice, as I poured the water in and it was overflowing, what's still at the top? You still got some things here. How many are sinners? Raise your hand again. That's why. Because we cannot get rid of all of it. Guess when we actually no longer become sinners? That's when we go home to our Lord and Savior, right? We're always going to be battling. It's always an adventure, what I like to call it. Could Christ come here and just done with everything? Yeah. But what's the point if he's seeking a love relationship with us? He wants to see us to work, to strive, to find him. He wants to see us to strive. He's always there. He's never left. Understand that. And what I'm getting ready to show you is going to prove that. He's always been there. We're always sin. We're always going to have sin in our life. It's always going to be a struggle. It's always going to be a process. But it's one of those processes we cannot give up on. There's too much at stake. That's why it's so important for us to stay involved in Scripture, to read. That's why it's so important for us to spend time in prayer with our Lord and Savior. That's our direct line of communication. But that's why it's also so important for us to stay involved in our churches. We cannot take on Satan by ourselves. You're going to try that and you're going to fail miserably and quickly. That's why it's so important for us to stay involved in our churches, to put people around us that hold us accountable and are there to support, offer good advice, to pray for us. Who all in here could use some prayer right now? If you don't raise your hand, you're lying. I know that. All of us can. So why not put the people that God intended to put around you to be praying for you? To get involved in his ministry in the church, to be actively involved to serve our Lord. That's what he calls us to do. He didn't call me to go play baseball somewhere. He called me to serve and glorify him first and foremost. But here's something we get caught up with. So we're going to take a little backwards approach to this. So I'm going to read this real quick back in Colossians 3. Let's go start at verse 12 here. It says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We got to completely change our lives. God didn't say it's going to happen overnight, but he did say we do got to change. But here's one of the hard parts. Now, even when we get our lives close with God, we get our relationship close with him, still struggles, right? Everybody has their moments where things are thrown at them to where it kind of drags them down. Or, how many of you have ever been through this? I have. To where you allow yourselves, your lives to get so busy that all of a sudden God becomes a second thought. You're not asking him for help. You're trying to take care of yourself, and all of a sudden you find yourself straying away from God. But here's something you need to understand. That separation that causes, that's our fault. When we allow the world to get back involved, we start shoving these things back involved. Okay? We're just trying. I'm not going to go through all of these because it's going to be crazy. And plus, I probably don't have enough time. But as we start allowing the world back into our lives and we start putting these things back in our lives, anybody know something that happens? Water keeps spewing out, but it's for a different reason, right? All of a sudden, we're causing a separation. Because God no longer is the focus, but everything else. And what I mean by a process, this is an ongoing battle. Every day of our lives. We can sit here all day, but once we put everything back in and we keep allowing the world to follow the world and follow what they do, guess what the world does? It separates us. Thing is, God's not the one that's left. It's us. We cause that separation. We're no longer following him, we're following everything else. And it's not God, it's God that's spewing out, not really, but just for the picture, it's that separation that is causing. All of a sudden, we're pushing Christ out of our life. But here's the interesting part. In this, even when you do this, what's still present in those voids? Christ. He never leaves. He's always there wanting us back. He's always there willing to forgive. He's always there wanting to have a relationship with us. That never stops. His love for us never stops. He loves his creation. He loves his people. But when we start getting back into the world and we start pushing things back in our life that the world offers and we start pursuing that, all of a sudden we're not leaving room for Christ in our life. There's a lot less water in this vase now than there was. Think about it. Christ calls us to put on. Paul in this tells us it's a new life. Put on, I mean, the title of this particular chapter says, put on the new self. Be rid of the old. Christ asks us to be the focus, nothing else. He wants to be the focus and nothing else. We just got through with this big Bible study called Experiencing God. What was the focus of that Bible study? To live in faith, right? To live in faith, who do you have to focus on? Christ. Guys, I'm going to tell you the importance of reading Scripture, of having a solid prayer life, being involved in a church. That's all part of Christ using you and changing your life as well as others to glorify Him. We can't do it on our own. So I got thinking, you know, every year we have this year's ending. We got a new year getting ready to begin. How many of y'all make New Year's resolutions? Wow. Y'all like me now. I quit doing that a long time ago. Because guess why? I don't think I've actually ever met a New Year. I've actually met a New Year's resolution goal yet. I'm pretty bad at it. I don't know why I do it, but I do. And I don't think I've ever met one yet. People say, well, I'm going to go exercise. Right. For me, good luck. I'll go play basketball. That's my exercise. Put me on a treadmill. Mm-mm. But I have struggled with that. So something I've been telling myself each year, and I try to do every day, is this year I want to spend more time with God. In prayer. And reading my scripture. And I keep reminding myself of that because that's what I'm asked to do. That's what I need to do. Because guess what? Satan's always there waiting on us. He's just watching for a little bitty opening. It might be something you think is good, but if we don't watch, Satan can turn that into something that could be very bad for us. We see it every day. Look at the world. Look at our country. Look at Paris. I mean, just think about the things. Instead of us complaining about all the addicts that are out here and all the issues that are going on, why don't we decide, instead of just sitting here and complaining about it and doing nothing about it, why don't we actually get on our feet and start moving over there to try to share the gospel with some people? Instead of complaining about all the homelessness and all the bad things that are going on out there, why instead of just sitting here and complaining about it, because that gets nothing done, why don't we go look at it with a servant's attitude the way Christ did and go show those people Christ? It's easy for us to stay in our comfort zones. But you ever notice something? When Christ ever used any his disciples or anybody, used them as a tool, you ever notice it was always out of their comfort zone, something they weren't very comfortable with? How did God use people? Satan likes to tell us our comfort zones are good. God says they're not. Because when we get comfortable, we do nothing. And I use myself as an example. At the end of the day, I ask my wife. I'm notorious for it. At the end of the day, I'm tired, I'm working all day, or do whatever else is going on. I'm done. I want to go home. I want to sit down on the couch, turn on television, just kind of chill out. And guess what I do after that? Absolutely nothing. Because I want to get comfortable. That's what we do. How can we do, how can we put on a new self if we're not willing to get rid of the old? We've got to change. And Christ can do that for us. He will change you if you allow him, if you give him the time. Start getting involved. Christ is active. He's always working. Just think, what if Christ decided to sit on the couch one day and say, I'm going to get comfortable for a bit. I'm not going to do nothing else today. What do you think would happen? a whole lot of bad stuff, I'll tell you that one. Satan will have a field day. Let's get active. Guys, let's get rid of the old self. Let's put on a new self, and let's actually start making our actions go along with what we say. And let's be the tools that Christ wants us to be. Let him use us to change a world. Let him use us to change a community. Let's use us to change other people. He does the change, but we're the tools that he uses. The gospel doesn't get out until we open our mouth. Got to talk about the IMB, Lottie Moon, supporting all these missionaries who are going throughout the world. That is phenomenal. It needs it. But also, who's the missionaries for Paris, Kentucky? Us. Because that's where we're at right now. The thing is, it's not a mission until you speak the gospel. We've got to be willing to speak with this to share the gospel. So in closing, think about it. Are you willing to get rid of the old self, to follow Christ, to be something completely new? Because he will change you if you allow him to. Are you willing to take that step? If you are, I'd love to pray with you. Pray about it. Spend time with him. Let him show you. He will tell you. And if you do have things in your life right now that is taking your focus completely off of God and you're following that rather than that, guess what? That will end one day. Then where will you be? Where's Christ at? It's a struggle. It's a fight. It's supposed to be. It tells us in Scripture, throughout the whole Scripture. How many battles, how many fights, how many times do you think God got aggravated with all of his people throughout the Scripture and all of it? Even the people he called, he got frustrated with because we're still sinners. We've got to focus. We've got to put our focus in Christ. We've got to put our focus in what he's wanting us to do, not what we want. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to be up front. I'd love to pray with you. If you don't know Christ, I would love to introduce you to him, because I promise you he'll change your life. If you do, the altar's open. You just want to come up and pray. Come and pray. And if you have questions on how you can be involved, where you need to be a part of, hey, come talk to us. We got all kinds of things going on where we can find something that you would enjoy doing, how God can use you. Let's get active. Let's quit sitting around. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I just come to you. And I can't thank you enough. Can't thank you enough for the blessings, Lord, you give us each and every day. And for leading us the way you do, through love and through your grace. Father, help us to understand truly what the sacrifice that you made through your son, the shedding of his blood, the forgiveness that he gave us, but then his resurrection and salvation that was offered to us, just through our faith, Father. But Father, help us to realize, God, that it's not something that we can rely on ourselves, but we have to rely completely on you, Father, to change and to be active and to serve you, God. We got to be seeking you. Not only just through our actions, but through prayer and through reading the gospel and really taking in what you're trying to tell us, Father. I just pray, God, that you help us to see that. That you help us to see what our real purpose is. It's not the things the world offers, but it's what you're telling us to do, and that's to go out. To share the gospel and to make disciples, Father. But Father, I pray for our church. God, that somehow we show everybody that there is a place here for them, where they can be active, where they can find help, they can find encouragement, Lord. I just pray, God, that you be us as a church to show that to other people, that this is a family. And through your faith, that we all become part of that family, Father. Through faith, we can do anything that you allow us to do. Father God, I just pray, Lord, that you be with us today as we go home, Lord. I pray, God, that you've changed hearts today. I pray, God, that we see you differently and that we can get our focus back, that you become that priority that you need to be, Father, that we should make you. Father, I just pray, God, in our lives we help to get that straightened out. Father God, we just thank you once again for everything you've done for us. We love you and thank you. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name.